My dear brothers and sisters, at the center of today's gospel is the challenge that unless we carry the cross, we cannot be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. The cross comes in many forms. There are many ways that we are called to make sacrifices. There are many times that suffering enters into our life. How do we make sense of the cross? It helps to start with today's first reading, where we are reminded that you and I struggle to try and make sense of the things of the world, but even more difficult it is to try and make sense of the things of heaven. Impossible even, unless we look at things through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit which gives us wisdom. So then let's look at the cross and ask the Holy Spirit to show us its meaning. Too often when we think about the cross, it is heaviness. It's oppressive. It's even crushing us. But what if the cross was something different? What if the cross is actually opposite of the way that we usually think of it? Instead of something that pushes us down, what if the cross is something that lifts us up? What if the cross is what we need to be free? What if the cross is actually the medicine we need in order to become a more faithful disciple of Christ? I think that's what the Holy Spirit wants to teach us, a radically different way of looking at suffering and sacrifice. For God never lets evil have the last word. He is always working through the brokenness of this world to bring a greater blessing. And the greatest of blessings is to be free of this world, to love Him with all of our hearts, and to live as His disciple so as to become the light of the world. Now, in today's gospel, Jesus gives us a couple of clues for things that have to happen in order for us to be His disciple. They're all related to the cross. Maybe the beginning of the gospel seems to us perplexing and even disturbing, where Jesus says we cannot be His disciple unless we hate. Well, this is the Lord of love speaking. What does it mean that we have to hate? And then he lists who we're supposed to be hating. Mother and father, spouse, children, brother, sister. What does Jesus mean? Certainly he is not using the word hate in the way that we usually use that ugly word. Instead, what Jesus is inviting us to do is to purify our relationships. What Jesus means to say here is, you cannot be my disciple unless you prefer me to everyone else, even those closest to you. Do you prefer me? Do you set me above everything? Am I the number one priority? And that, of course, is the meaning of the first commandment. I am the Lord your God, and you shall have no other gods before me. Sometimes you and I take other people in our lives and make them gods. We become faithful to them, even when it means being unfaithful to the Lord. So the Lord invites us, purify your relationships. Prioritize your relationships with God first. Now, it looks different at different times, this challenge. When we're young, maybe it's simply a classmate that comes up to us and says, "What'd you get on number 5? And they want to cheat on homework or a test. And you know that that's not being faithful to the Lord. Do you do what your friend is asking, or do you know what the Lord is asking of you? Or maybe it's a little bit older when friends say, "Oh, come on, let's go out and get drunk." And you know that the Lord doesn't want you to do that, but you really want to hang out with the cool kids. You really want to be one of the gang. You really want to be there in the midst of what's happening. Are you faithful to your friends or faithful to the Lord? Or maybe it's out in the workplace where coworkers gather around the water cooler and they begin to discuss everybody else's faults. They trash everyone. And you know the Lord is asking you not to participate in gossip. The Lord is asking you to maintain a spirit of charity and of mercy. Do you fall into the conversation with your coworkers because you want to be with them? Or are you faithful to the Lord? Or what about in family life? Maybe it's adult children who are going off in a different direction, a direction that's opposed to the gospel. Do mom and dad or grandma and grandpa simply roll over and, "Well, whatever you say"? Or are we faithful to Christ and we love them, but we maintain a witness to the gospel and we don't cave under pressure? We don't approve what God disapproves. The challenges of purifying our relationships are many, and at every stage of our lives, Jesus says, unless we get this right, unless we purify them, unless we prioritize with God first, we cannot be disciples of the Lord Jesus. That's the meaning of the beginning of this gospel. And certainly it is a cross. It is a cross when we find ourselves at odds with other people. It is a suffering. But it's an invitation from Jesus to carry that cross, to be faithful. Now, the second half of the gospel, Jesus gives us a couple of rather odd analogies. He talks about building a tower. So we get a little lesson in engineering. Make sure that you've got solid foundations. Make sure you have enough resources to build it all up. Don't leave it half finished. Jesus is saying to us in this analogy and in the following one about a king going out to fight another king, don't do things half-heartedly. Don't become a lukewarm Christian. Jesus wants our all. He wants us to live faithful to Him at every moment, in every aspect of our lives. And He concludes these two analogies with another startling challenge. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. And there we have the invitation. To live wholeheartedly for Christ means not to be overly attached to the things of this world. And since you and I happen to live in the most affluent society to ever exist on the face of the planet, when Jesus starts talking about possessions, we've got a lot of work to do. Do we own our possessions, or do they possess us? We have a whole industry of marketing that's trying to convince us that wants are really needs. I couldn't live without this. In fact, one of our seminarians in Rome was just mentioning the fact that the temperatures in Europe have been extremely hot this summer, and so Rome has been seeing 100-degree temperatures, and there's no air conditioning at the seminary. I smiled and say, well, welcome to what my life was in seminary. You and I sitting here in our comfortably air-conditioned church, in our comfortably air-conditioned cars, in our comfortably air-conditioned homes, we think, well, I couldn't live through 100-degree temperatures without air conditioning. We forget that even today, most of the people who live in hot climates don't have air conditioning. And if we look over the course of time, 99.9% of people have lived without air conditioning. You and I take for granted so many of the luxuries that our comfortable society affords us. They're just there, and we enjoy them. But do they begin to possess us? I can't imagine living without X, Y, or Z. Instead, we should ask ourselves, can I imagine living without Christ? He is the one possession we need. All these other things are fine, and even they become his blessings to us as long as we keep them in their proper order. As long as they don't become rival gods. My career, my 401k, the size of my house, my vacation, all these things, they begin to become more and more important to me. And sometimes without noticing, they begin to eclipse the importance of Christ himself in my life. Just like we need to purify our relationships with the people in our lives, so the Lord is challenging us, purify your relationship with the things in your life. It's a sacrifice to live without air conditioning. It's a sacrifice to not have all the goodies that someone else may have. But those crosses are crosses that you and I need to be willing to bear if it makes us able to follow Christ without those over-attachments to the things of this earth. The cross, rather than being a punishment, the cross becomes the tool by which you and I become free to live for Christ. And even when that cross is not simply giving up things, making sure that we don't choose people over God, sometimes it's the cross of sickness, sometimes the cross of other things in our lives going on. Those sufferings are sometimes exactly the moments where you and I can begin to reevaluate that we haven't noticed what's going on in our own lives. We haven't chosen what's important. We say one thing, but then we look at how we're actually living, and the two don't line up. And sometimes it's only when everything is thrown up in the air, where everything becomes hard, only then sometimes are we free to rebuild on the foundation of Christ first, and everything else only within the context of our relationship with God, not as a rival to God. It's not easy to hear Jesus say these things, but there he says it three times. Unless you carry your cross, you cannot be my disciple. Unless you purify your relationships with others, you cannot be my disciple. Unless you are free from these attachments to worldly things, you cannot be my disciple. Jesus is clear. He wants us to be free. So let's ask for that wisdom which comes from the Holy Spirit to evaluate our relationships, to evaluate our possessions, and to rightly order our lives with God first.